a fallacy in a minute. At a 30% profit rate to earn $100 a day, you have to put $167 in per race. We all want to make $100 a day at least, but do I want to put $167 a day in a race? We'll talk about it in a minute. He also says the very best reference that he can give is Barry Meadows' Money Secrets at the Racetrack. Just about everything you need to know about betting is contained in this one book. Start with win betting once you've achieved 20% ROI for a significant number of times. Then you can start thinking about pick threes and daily doubles and triples. That's the advice of one of the foremost money management experts in the world, supposedly. Now here's one that really turns me off, and it turned off a couple of other people too, by James Quinn, who's also written some very good things, don't get me wrong. A melancholy thought for many handicappers regards the collective wisdom of the betting public. No matter the genius of the individual handicapper, the crowd as a whole does it better. Imagine a select group of notable handicappers to include perhaps Robert Doust, Colonel Bradley, Howard Rowe, Ray Talbot, Tom Ainslie, Andy Beyer, Steve Davidowitz, William Quirin, Huey Moll, Henry Cuck, and the top two or three professionals at every local circuit. Could these experts not excel the crowd? They could not. They could not? Performing at their best, this small group of experts could be expected to lose approximately 15% on investment. Public choices lose on baloney. Now, two of those people I know very well, the late Huey Moll, he died recently, and Tom Ainslie. They look at that and say, that's ludicrous. Any time a good handicapper cannot beat the public on normal bets, and he shouldn't be calling himself a good handicapper. Now, I threatened these guys with a bet. I'll do it, and I'll beat the public. Well, how would you do that? Well, you know that I bet better than they do on the run-of-the-mill races. I make more money than they do. Maybe. How would I handle the maidens with first-time starters and the foreign horses with no U.S. records? I would bet the public choices. I bet the favorite. That way I'd be equal to the public on those kinds of races with no running lines and beat them in the ones that do have running lines. Well, they decided not to take my bet because they said, well, you'd have to do it every day of your life for the rest of your life. Why? Because the public does. That kind of stuff, I hate to use the word crap, but I will. That sort of crap is what destroys your confidence when you read it. It doesn't do it any good. Now I'll go back to one of Mr. Mitchell's other statements. A bet that I could make and could win, not by myself, but through two other people. I headlined this, How to Beat the Professional Handicappers Without Any Handicapping. Here's what Dick Mitchell says. The truth of winning, and he said a lot of money, but I just put money at the racetrack, is that you're going to have to bet a lot of money. When some sleazebag, I guess he means me, tells you can make your living, on $20 bets, plunge a dagger into his heart before he finishes his next sentence. Ooh! Then go to his house and burn it down. Then go to the Hall of Records and erase any trace of his existence. He's a contagion that you must stop from spreading. Aha. I ask you this. What constitutes your living? What do you consider a livelihood from going to the races, or an augmentation to your livelihood? Okay, you remember what Tom Ainslie said in our previous tape? With synthesis, Sarton has fulfilled my prophecy. He has made handicapping by popular definition unnecessary. Now I call your attention to two people who live not too far up here in a trailer park. They're in their late 60s and 70s. They team together. They both depend on Social Security. That is their living. They get their medical paid for. Their highest Social Security check of the two is $740 a month. According to Mitchell, this means you must bet an average of $167 a day to earn $100 a day. Per race, I should say, not a day. You must bet an average of $167 a race to make $100 a day. So I offer you a few days of their handicapping. Now here's what I told them before we get into this. They aren't in such good health necessarily, at least every day. I said, do not go to the races unless you feel well, unless you feel charged. And if you're going to bet, pick threes, which cost $27 to put three horses in each race, always back up any of those horses within your pick three that's going to pay a double-digit mutual. First day, $27 for the first pick three netted them $115. $27, $115, that kind of negates what Mr. Mitchell said. Then they added a $5 bet on a $10 horse, netting $15 more. Day two, you can read it for yourself. Each one of these days, two, three, four, five. I could fill the book with what they won, but in each day, for minute bets relative to what Mitchell said they had to bet, they made well over their $100 a day. So I ask you, when you read junk like that, ask yourself, hey, what constitutes my living? I don't have a home overlooking the lights of Hollywood with a swimming pool. I don't drive Cadillacs or shop on Rodeo Drive. Apparently, Mr. Mitchell thinks everybody does, but we don't all do that, and we don't need to make this fabulous fortune, and we do not need to bet any more than we feel comfortable betting. That's the secret. Okay, I asked you before, and I ask you again, do you really want to win? If you really want to win, you're going to follow some directions. You're going to stop playing games. You're going to get off that loser life script. And the most important thing is you're going to do what Michael Jordan and a number of other great athletes do. Ask them what they do, and they'll tell you they focus intensely. And they're filled with determination. They call it being in the zone. Now, how many basketball players score as well as Michael Jordan? How many football players score as well as Steve Young or Brett Favre? These people who are constantly in the zone while they are engaging in their activity. If you really want to win, you're going to have to be in the zone. You're going to have to focus. You're going to have to concentrate. And you're going to have to use your will. And the first thing you're going to have to say to yourself is, I can do it. If you don't say that, if you whimper and wobble and wonder and call, what do I do? You're not in the zone. You don't see Michael Jordan saying, hey, guys, what do I do? What do I do? No, he's in the zone. He knows exactly what he's going to do. As you don't undoubtedly realize, it says here, there are many people whose pathological adaptation to contaminated negative messages, and we've been talking about those contaminated negative you can't messages, you mustn't, you shouldn't, you don't, that precludes the possibility of winning. And let me tell you this, and if you don't believe it, think about it. Many handicappers get pleasure out of losing. They get to play the game of, oh, poor little me. You know that song, the whole world loves a winner for the Olympics? Well, the whole world does not love a winner in handicapping. You lose your friends. Your friends want you to lose. You won't lose if you're in the zone. I want to discuss the great deceiver, which is sensory perception. I equate sensory perception with ego. I wrote an article called In the Lead versus Early Speed. Horses that are in the lead do not necessarily represent the early speed. We have a computer readout that tells you whether they were early, sustained, or presser. And that is far more important than what you visualize. Visual perception. Remember what Sam Wada says. Horses that you can easily find where they are in the racing form seldom pay anything but $6 mutuals. They seldom play worth betting. Don't let your sensory perception delude you. And it is the biggest deluder there is. Trip handicapping was based on sensory perception, and trip handicapping was a trip, all right. It was an ego trip. I've got a little thing I want you to read in here. Your emotional bottom line. Don't exceed your emotional bottom line when you bet. If you can only afford in your mind, if you get uncomfortable, if you get chills, if you get shakes over $20, keep betting $20 until you can bet a little more without getting the shakes. Don't exceed your comfort level. That's what leads to pathological gambling. Now here's another thing I wrote about defining choice. I got terrible letters from the public. The public always writes me terrible letters by saying that my betting line did not add up to 100, therefore I was wrong. Now this comes from a loser. He wants everything to be linear, to follow a mathematical formula. What's that? His adapted child is talking about something a parent told him a long time ago, or a parent substitute, that a betting line had to add up to 100, and if it didn't, it wasn't worth a damn. So anytime we say something and it goes against what the public believes, and you feel like writing a nasty letter, think about where your perception came from. My perception comes from the experimentations and everything that creates a winning attitude and a winning trip to the window far more often than not. That's why we bet two horses to win. Okay, you've got the key. The key is in your mind. The key is accepting the fact that you've got to be game-free, that you've got to stop living a loser life script, that you follow some of these bits of wisdom that we tried to impart and give up the folly and the myths that you've come to accept from the past. Give up those crazy mixed messages that are causing you to lose. So we've given you the key, and we call it synthesis. For some of you, it may be pace launcher 3 or pace launcher 4, certainly not phase 3. That's as archaic as yesterday's newspaper. We've offered you the key, but I tell you, the lock's sitting right there, but you've got to be able to insert that key into the lock yourself by being able to make a decision. Nobody can make a decision for you. But all these things that we tried to impart to you are there to help you make the correct decision. Don't be like the person who says, but the winner was down there and there were two horses that were better overlays, that were higher than the winner on bottom line. Hey, that person did not look at the corollaries that supported the horse that did win, that did not support the other horse. And this will not happen 100% of the time. You will never win 100% of the races. You're going to lose some. But if you let a loss destroy you, then you're psychologically unprepared to go to the races. Remember your emotional bottom line. Fortify it. Fortify it with reality and viability. You've got to stop playing games, stop being a victim, and above all, examine all of your corollaries and do it from a position where you're mentally focused and in the zone. Now what's an epiphany? That's a big word you see in the Bible. Just a wake-up call. It's a sudden awakening to realize what is as opposed to what isn't. By the same token, sad though it may be, we have a lot of people who wake up in a new world every day. I have a friend who, when he's in the zone, he's a great handicapper. But I have to call him every morning to make sure he woke up that morning in the same world he was in the day before, which was a good world. But he gets fly-by-night things that go into his mind, and he wants to change this, he wants to change that, or he gets some inspiration he hears from some idiot that he knows is a loser, but then he says, oh, it might be something to it, so I'm going to try it. So he wakes up in a new world every day, and if you do that, you're never going to be a winner. The most important thing is, it's part of being in the zone, it's part of that focus and determination, is your will. W-I-L-L, your will, your willpower. That which you will shall come to pass, but that which you fear the most will also come to pass. Don't function from that contaminated, adapted child that believes in rules, that believes in don'ts, that believes it can't be done. Focus from your will that says it can be done and you will do it. It doesn't matter whether you're black, white, yellow, or green, whether you're tall or short, whether you're handsome or ugly, or whether you're crippled or whole. Handicapping is the most democratic form of making a dollar there is. It is true egalitarianism. As long as you make the right decision, you belong to the elite of this world. So don't put yourself down for any social inequities you may think you have. Remember this, the winner is always part of the answer. The loser is always a part of the problem. The winner always has a program, not just a computer program, but a program of life. The loser always has an excuse. The winner sees an answer for every problem. The loser sees a problem for every answer. How many times do you give an answer and then they say, but yeah, but what if it were blah, 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 blah? The winner says it may be difficult, and it is. This is not an easy occupation we've settled for ourselves. The loser says, it may be possible, but it's too difficult. Remember, to be in the zone when you handicap, to be in the zone when you bet, that means focus and determination, and you will be a winner. But hey, don't take it so seriously that you focus on it all the time of your life. When you win, you'll find that it's much easier. It's much easier to have a good time. It's much easier to laugh. It's much easier to go into that free child and have fun. In all of our lives, there will come that time when the fear will possess you, when the anxiety will override all that we have said on these three tapes. I have a little exercise for you when that happens. Whenever you feel the churning in your stomach, whenever you feel the dissociation, whenever you feel the fear, have a rubber band on each wrist. If you're left-handed, snap it until it hurts. Snap the one on your right wrist till it hurts. Oh, and that'll hurt you back into the now. That'll hurt, put you back into the reality of where you were. Just keep doing it till it hurts. Now, if you're right-handed, you put it on your left wrist. So every time you feel doubt, every time you feel uncertainty, you're walking to the window and you're wondering, am I doing it right? If this is this and that, all those questions that come to your mind, snap that rubber band and make it hurt. Ooh, and it does hurt. You'll have red wrists, but it will snap you back into reality. And it is reality, and facing that reality, and wagering and handicapping based on that reality, it will make you a consistent winner. Okay. Now, what is the greatest adjunct of the psychology of winning? It's betting. You can be the greatest handicapper in all the world. You can know all about the corollaries and what you're going to do what, but if you cannot run to the window and make a bet, a proportional bet, based on the viability of the corollaries you've used, then you wasted it all. So I've offered a little thing before you start to bet about your emotional bottom line betting line. Get your emotions in order before you make the bet. Now, I don't like to knock other authors in the field. And I'm sure that the authors that I'm going to quote here have written some very good, substantial things. But I'm pointing out two, three, in one case four, where what they've done with their writing, is to destroy, make a concerted effort to destroy your confidence and my confidence when it comes to making a bet. Dick Mitchell says the very best professional players can earn between 20 and 40% on their win bets. Most average around 2 prime bets a day. That's not enough. This means that if you're in the middle of this group, the superior handicappers, your ROI will be around 30%. How much do you have to put through the mutuals at 30% profit rate to earn $100 a day? $333. Meaning you must average $167 bet a race. We're going to examine that a little later. And he gives you another statement. The very best reference I can give you is Barry Meadows' Money Secrets at the Racetrack. Just about everything you need to know about betting is contained in this one book. Start with win betting. Once you've achieved a 20% ROI for a significant number of win bets, you can then take on serial betting, such as the daily double and daily serial triple or pick three. Now here is one of the most pathetic statements ever made, and I don't know why it was made. A melancholy thought for many handicappers regards the collective wisdom of the betting public. No matter how the genius of the individual handicapper, the crowd as a whole does it better. Imagine a select group of notable handicappers to include perhaps Robert Dowse, Colonel Bradley, Howard Rowe, Ray Talbot, Tom Ainslie, Andy Beyer, Stephen Davidovitz, William Quirin, Huey Moll, Henry Cuck, and the top two or three professionals on every local circuit. Could these experts not excel the crowd? He says no. Performing at their best, the small group of experts could be expected to lose approximately 15% on investment, whereas public losses only amount to 9%. James Quinn. Well, I talked to two of the people he named in here, Tom Ainslie and the late Huey Moll, and they deny that any such thing would take place. I offered to bet them, go to the track every day for a month and prove that I could outperform the public, and they would not take me up on the bet. They'd say I have to do it for the rest of my life, every day, because that's how the public does it. And I told them how I would beat the public. When I would beat them on my own personal bets, but when it came to maiden races with first-time starters and foreign horses with no line, I would bet merely the public favorites. That way I'd be even with the public on those and be better on the ones that I would handicap with better results. They still wouldn't make the bet because their absolute rule was I'd have to do it for the rest of my life, every single day, because that's the way the public did it. That's a ludicrous, confidence-destroying three statements. Now, I have a client, if you want to get confidence, here's how he does it. He says the top part is how he gets confidence, read it over, then the other part is for you to insert your little facts in there to give you confidence. A very good thing. He gives it every morning. Now we go to another ludicrous statement which will destroy a horse player's bankroll and his confidence. This again from Ditch Mitchell. It says, what constitutes your living? The truth of winning money at the track is that you're going to have to bet a lot of money. When some sleazebag, meaning me, I guess, tells you that you can make your living on $20 bets, plunge a dagger into his heart before he finishes his next statement. Then go to his house and burn it down. Then go to the Hall of Records and erase any trace of his existence. He's a contagion that you must stop from spreading. You'll be doing your fellow handicappers a big favor. Or if you're more benevolently inclined, just consider him a bull-ticky artist and forget him. Rather harsh statement based on someone else's conception of what constitutes a living. Well, you got to remember this. Tom Ainslie says, with synthesis, I fulfilled his prophecy by making handicapping by popular definition unnecessary. So let's see if we can beat this person who would burn your house down, stab you in the back, and erase all of your records from the city hall by just the simple process of following my directions. I'm going to enumerate the two people involved here quite prophetically because they are, I'm quite proud of them. They are two synthesis users teaming together. They go together to the races. They live in a trailer park. They both depend on Social Security for a living, Their highest Social Security check among the two of them is $740 a month. I go to Dick Mitchell's quote again. This means you must be an average $167 better per race to earn $100 a day. Now here's their first day. They made $115 net on the first pick three. They added $15 to that, which makes $130. And they only spent $37. That's not $337. Next day, a similar response, only more profit. We go to another day, a much bigger profit, less spent. We go to the next day, much bigger profit, less spent. We go to their final day, and at the bottom of that page, I stress what constitutes your living. What is it? It's not for me to decide. It's only for you to know what constitutes your living. So I ask you to be able to meet the criteria of a winner, to be able to make the living that you deem necessary, that you do the few things that we've asked you to do in this manual. Get off that drama triangle. Don't be a persecutor. Don't be a victim. Don't be a rescuer. Stop playing games. Get off the game matrix entirely. Be game free. Abandon your loser, non-winner script. Don't play the script game at all. Write your own script, which is positive. Above all, we've given you a key. It's well expressed in this particular little picture. The key is named synthesis. It is proceeding toward a lock. It is the lock of the door called profits. Now we offer the key to that lock. You must insert it and turn it by your decision. Decisions cannot be made for you. They can be helped. There are guidelines to help you reach decisions. But once you reach them, they are your decisions. So take the lock, turn the key. No more games. No more being victim. Use all of your corollaries. Use them in unison. Use them properly. Learn how to use them. Use them for consistency. You do it consistently, it will bring you profit. And then, my friends, you will be in the zone. Thank you. It didn't. The world every day. It's up to you, though. You either wake up with an epiphany, or in that new world every day where you try something new. Get off that persecutor, rescuer, victim business. Don't be a victim. Don't try to be a rescue. Don't persecute someone if they argue with you. And get rid of that adapted child who has adapted itself to all the rules and regulations and all the no's and na-na's that you've heard all your life. Say, I will not function in the adapted child. I'll move over to that little professor, that